Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
At age 92, World War II veteran Howard Banks is legally blind, but his memory is sharp.
I was a gunner.
On July 11th, a day before his birthday, the Marine heard someone outside pulling his American flag down. So he went outside to investigate.
They could see me. I couldn't see them. And I turned and looked in the other direction, and about then, wham, they knocked me down.
Whoever did it took off.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. On the Valley's Power Talk.
Neighbors rushed in to help Howard up.
Oh, my knee is a little twisted, but
bumps and bruises.
And on this forearm, it's kind of sore yet, and it's kind of rough.
Can't stop him from his life's mission.
I think we all had that same feeling that that flag was our identity. We are Americans.
To honor veterans who sacrifice and serve.
The fact that I'm getting older and less I can do, at least I can still do that.
Wow, 92-year-old blind veteran going out to protect the flag. Would I do that? Would you do that? That's a question, isn't it? I like to say, yeah, I had a flag out front. If I saw somebody out there, I'd go outside. Or would I stay inside and call 911 and go, get ready? I don't know. You never know what you're going to do. I guess it depends who's pulling your flag down, right? If it's a motorcycle gang of eight or a Black Lives Matter or an Antifa group out there of 15 people, you're probably not going to go out. If it's maybe one person or maybe two, you might go say something. These are crazy times, man. I know there's people going, I don't care how many are out there. I'm going out there. I'll lock and load. There is that mentality. And maybe we need a little bit more of that mentality in America to not allow this to take over. What if every American male of military age and above went out and defended businesses and communities when these rioters and these domestic terrorists attacked? What if Second Amendment legal citizens actually went out and defended all their businesses when the government and the police chiefs and the mayors retreated, right? I think we'd have a much different scene than what we see today. Now, that would take a lot of bravery. That would take a lot of courage to go man on man with a weapon in your hand going, this business is worth my life right now. So, I mean, that is a huge stand to take. That is a huge stand. And after spending more time watching and reviewing and reading on the Rittenhouse trial, you probably haven't followed a trial like I haven't since OJ. But the comments I hear from the left are people who obviously haven't watched. They have not researched this. We know that has not happened. And I bet you anything that Daryl Brooks heard from the media. Daryl Brooks, a man that drove the SUV through the Christmas parade. And there's another death on that. It's now six dead. An 8-year-old boy, Jackson Sparks, lost his life. But I bet you the man behind the SUV that took the little boy's life, I bet that he heard that Rittenhouse is a white supremacist, right? He went there. He went there that night to take innocent life, and he brought a deadly weapon with him and across state lines, which is not true, to a city, right? That, man, Kyle Rittenhouse had no business being in there at all, right? And I bet you anything, Daryl Brooks and many out there think that he went and he shot up three people, right? Just left them there, laying there bleeding, right? Oh, and they were black people too, right? That's why Biden called him a white supremacist, right? Rittenhouse was on Tucker last night.
Saw the videos of the riots and the arson going on.
What'd you think of it?
It was upsetting because Kenosha is my community, and I just was upset seeing my community up in flames. We wake up in the morning and we're talking, we're like, let's go help our community, let's go see what we can do. And we ended up at Ruther Central High School, where we were cleaning graffiti for a couple hours, and then we met with the owners of CarSource, and we offered to protect their business from fires, making sure the rest of their other two properties didn't get burned down like they did the night prior. And they agreed. We came back.
And if you follow the trial or have done any kind of research on it or know any of the truth, it's hard by watching the fake news media. But Rittenhouse was a young man who actually worked in Kenosha and lived just outside of it. During the trial, just like the Mueller investigation, where's the proof? During that trial, no evidence that Kyle Rittenhouse belonged to a militia. No evidence that Kyle Rittenhouse belonged to a vigilante group. No evidence that he belonged to any kind of ultra right-wing organization, even though it's not illegal to belong to a militia or a right-wing organization, though depending on their beliefs. But, you know, everything has been taken into account. And right here, what wasn't taken into account, that none of this should have even happened if, you know, the city and the governor hadn't failed.
I can't really think they got the support they needed. The National Guard should have been called August 23rd, but the city of Kenosha failed the community. The governor, Tony Evers, failed the community, and there should have been a lot more resources to help with that.
Listen, he's very well spoken, and I think he did an incredible interview. If you haven't got the chance to watch it, sit down and watch it. Even if you think that he's as guilty as sin, if you're of that mindset, use your mind and set it into an open mind mode and listen to actually what he said that happened. And think about actually what was going on all around this country. I mean, there was zero responsibility from our elected officials.
I am very, very excited.
Yeah, excited to what? Bail people out so they could go burn down more black-owned businesses there, Kamala. All people color businesses were burned down there, Kamala, right? Oh, it was the summer of hate. Summer of hate. Kyle Rittenhouse went out to protect people and property. His gun was already there. He had every right to own it and carry it. That's why the gun charges were kicked out early in the trial. But you had people all across this country committing crimes every night on camera, reported as mostly peaceful protests, as assault and battery go on behind me. Mostly peaceful protests, as vandalism is obvious. Mostly peaceful protests, as arson rages, fire behind me. Type on the Chiron below, mostly peaceful protests. They'll believe us, right? They won't think their eyes are seeing homes and businesses being destroyed. It was all done in the name of a big lie anyhow, that you had just innocent black people being murdered in massive number by racist police. All based on a lie to begin with. And in Kenosha, the crime that they were actually rioting about, it was to the shooting of Jacob Blake. Well, if you forgot about Jacob Blake, Blake's ex-girlfriend took out a restraining order on him because he had sexually assaulted her multiple times, called 911 to report him. He had a warrant out for his arrest. He had assaulted her again. Let me tell you, if this was your mom, your sister, your niece, a woman that you knew in your life, would you be on the rioter's side, or would you be on the police's side when they actually arrived? They found him in the car with three of his six young kids who he'd taken from his ex's home. Police tried to arrest him. He resisted. They drew their guns. Instead of cooperating, he gets out of the car, walks around, gets into the car window, apparently for the knife that they found there. One of the officers shouted, "Drop the knife." He continued to resist. They shot him. He survived. He was left partially paralyzed from the waist down, and that's why the riots happened. Governor Tony Evers, instead of standing up for the police, law and order, the law and order citizens, not just the police, but the citizens, he went along with the line. Went along with the line that the rioters were justified. Media, put that line out that they're justified. And there's millions of Americans that actually believe that. Now, It's been a long time since I've trusted New York Times or the Washington Post or ABC or NBC or CBS or CNN. They're all liars. And people say, well, there's no way not all of them could lie and actually get away with that. That was an actual line spoken to me. And when they said there's no way that all those major news media are going to be able to get away with lying, you know what I do? I just wash my hands like Pontius Pilate and walk away from that conversation. If you don't see it, you don't see it. Nothing I'm going to say that's going to change you or the way that you actually see it. If you're going to say Kyle Rittenhouse is wrong to have guns and nobody else did, well, you're just not listening.
There are rioters with firearms. Was that obvious to you?
Yes, I did. There was a lot of people there were rioters. Rioters with firearms. I remember one very distinctly, Joshua Zeminski was walking around with a pistol in his hand all that night with Joseph Rosenbaum. It was quite shocking. I was like, why would somebody threaten to kill me? I'm just asking if people need help on both sides. I was there just to help anybody that needed, and shockingly, the only people I helped that night were rioters.
Well, he had no business being there. That's a child. You don't let them out. And you know what? John Girardi and I were talking about this last week, and I said, oh, I wouldn't let my 17-year-old out the front door with an AR-15. And I still stand by that. I would stop my 17-year-old and be like, not a good idea, man. Not a good idea. But hey, you know, 17-year-olds can enlist in the United States military. You do know that if their parents say okay, and they can take a gun and go over and protect anything and anybody. Now, here's in his words what happened that evening.
As I'm running before I'm on the ground for the first time, and then I'm hit with a rock by somebody in a white tank top. And that's how I end up on the ground. And I have four people around me from what I remember. And I move my firearm in their direction and they back off with their hands up so I don't shoot them. And then Jump Kick Man keeps coming. And that's when I fire two shots at Jump Kick Man.
Then what happens?
After Jump Kick Man is running off, Anthony Huber comes up and he grabs the barrel of my gun and then he hits me with his skateboard holding his trucks, and that's when I shoot him one time.
Where did he hit you with the skateboard?
He hit me in the back of the head, in the neck, the back of the head towards the neckline.
Did you think you were going to be killed at that point?
I did.
Then what happens?
And then after Mr. Huber attacks me, Mr. Grossgrutz puts his hands up, and then I have my rifle pointed in his direction for about a second. And then once I lower my rifle, I noticed that my ejection port is opened about an inch. And Mr. Grossgrutz said I pulled the charging handle, which never happened. I hit the forward assist to close the ejection port. And that's, he sees me doing that or something. And this time he runs at me and he has his gun pointed directly at my head.
Did you see the gun?
I did.
What, do you think he was going to shoot you?
I did. He had it pointed directly at my head, and that's when I shoot him one time. And he is no longer a threat to me at that point because he ran off after I fired that shot.
That was Kyle Rittenhouse live with Tucker Carlson last night. We'll hear more about there were more people coming after him and another battle, this time not with violence, with words, Ducey versus Saki. On the Rittenhouse edition, and you'll hear old Saki squirm. We'll play you that and AWR Hawkins from Breitbart coming up here at the bottom of the hour.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
We're going to talk to AWR Hawkins. He's Breitbart's Second Amendment expert on Kyle Rittenhouse and self-defense and the trial as well. You heard him there talking to Tucker about what happened. Even more people came at him. We'll pick it up here.
So then what happens?
There is a person directly in front of me, and I point my rifle in their direction, and he puts his hands up, and he's backing up. And I then turn around, start going to the police, and then I hear shots behind me, and I turn around and briefly raise my rifle to see if I'm being shot at. And then I realize I can't see who's shooting at me, so then I turn around and go back to the police car, towards the police line.
It's just, hearing this, it's just hard to believe this is happening in an American city.
It's America City 2021 that stemmed out of American cities of the summer of rage and hate of 2020. He was asked what the jail experience was like.
It was scary in jail. Like, you had to watch over yourself, and not a lot of people liked me in jail until they... The funny thing is, a lot of people didn't like me in jail, but they got to hear, like, my story, and they got to understand me, like, he's actually a really decent person.
Interesting there. His mom said, well, listen to her here.
It's not about winning or losing. There was two people that did passed away, and families have to grieve.
Here was a little battle, like I said, that did not involve violence, a war of words. Fox News Ducey versus Press Secretary Sakatu Yasaki.
Would the president ever apologize to the acquitted Kenosha shooter Kyle Rittenhouse for suggesting online and on TV that he is a white supremacist?
Well, let's be clear what we're talking about here. This is about a campaign video released last year that used President Trump's own words during a debate as he refused to condemn white supremacists and militia groups. And President Trump, as we know from history, and as many of you covered, didn't just refuse to condemn militia groups on the debate stage, he actively encouraged them throughout his presidency. So, what we've seen are the tragic consequences of that. When people think it's okay to take the law into their own hands instead of allowing law enforcement to do its job. And the president believes in condemning hatred, division, and violence. That's exactly what was done in that video.
But if you're saying that it was just a campaign video, it wasn't. The president also gave an interview where he said this Rittenhouse was part of a militia coming out of Illinois. Have you ever heard this president referring to Trump say one negative thing about white supremacists? These are all things, none of this was proven in the trial. And Kyle Rittenhouse is saying that the president had actual malice in defaming his character. Is that what happened here?
The president spoke to the verdict last week. He has obviously condemned the hatred and division and violence we've seen around the country by groups like the Proud Boys and groups that that individual has posed in photos with. But beyond that, I'll leave it to his comments.
You did not answer the question there, Sakatu Yasaki, but that's okay. When you don't answer, that actually is an answer, correct? Correct.
What did you make of the President of the United States calling you a white supremacist?
Mr. President, if I could say one thing to you, I would urge you to go back and watch the trial and understand the facts before you make a statement.
That's not a small thing to be called that.
No, it's actual malice, defaming my character, for him to say something like that.
What, I mean, why do you think, and it's not simply Biden who said that, it's a lot of people on television have said that, a lot, dozens of people have said that, sorry to tell you in case you haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's actually quite hysterical how nobody can go back and look at the facts of the case. He crossed state lines, false. He's a white supremacist. False. None of that is true. And the lies that they can just get away with spreading is just sickening, and it's a disgrace to this country.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, maybe Rittenhouse could have a class action lawsuit with this guy, right?
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
All right, do we really know now if Corn Pop was or not? He's pretty quick to rush to judgment, right?
After I shoot Mr. Rosenbaum, he tried to grab my gun. I was running away. There was a gunshot behind me. After I shoot him, I run around the car because I was going to go render first aid to him. I wasn't able to because then there was a mob forming.
Yeah, and the mob kept forming, and the mob actually did a trial, actually got a little jury together. Let's see, who was the four woman? Joy Reid, right? Yeah, MSNBC jury, CNN jury, Joe Biden jury. Many jurors sat there and tried him already before he even came to trial, right?
This case has nothing to do with race. It never had anything to do with race. It had to do with the right to self-defense.
Right.
I'm not a racist person. I support the BLM movement. I support peacefully demonstrating. And I believe there needs to be change. I believe there's a lot of prosecutorial misconduct, not just in my case, but in other cases. And it's just amazing to see how much a prosecutor can take advantage of somebody. What I noticed is the rioters were trying to, like, they were, like, disassociating with him because he was, like, spewing the N-word around, and they just didn't seem to want to have anything to deal with him, the rioters. Yeah. We went into the judge's chambers, and the prosecution said, we identified Jump Kick Man, and the prosecution threw a fit a little bit. They didn't want us to interview him. They were like, well, he's a victim. Well, I didn't know I was going to be arrested for defending myself because everything was on video. But part of the reason I think I was arrested is because of the mob mentality. I didn't call my mom after I saw her, and she was in shock. She was like, she wanted to go into hiding, and I said, no, the right thing to do would be to turn myself in. I didn't do anything wrong. A lot of people are like, oh, Kyle had time to meet with his attorneys to come up with this amazing defense of self-defense. No, that's not the case. This has been 100% self-defense from the beginning.
We're going to talk to Breitbart, Second Amendment expert. His name is A.W.R. Hawkins, and he's on the show next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Well, last week we had Joe Pollack from Breitbart on the show, literally on an airplane. We have someone else from Breitbart. They travel a lot, don't they? He's at an airport. He's Breitbart Second Amendment expert, Mr. A.W.R. Hawkins. A.W.R., thank you for being on.
Oh, great to be with you.
Now, I'm not going to ask you any questions. That your answers out loud will get the TSA over there looking at you weird, okay?
I appreciate it.
How many times have you had to fly during the lockdown? Have you had many flights? And the reason I ask is I just recently had my first flight, and I hadn't had to wear a mask for 7 or 8 hours straight before. It was pretty tough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not pleasant at all. But I seem to be very slow at eating ice, and that's very beneficial.
Yeah, I had a lot of those plastic orange juice things in front of me a whole lot when I was sitting around as well, slowly sipping on that as well. So I think I'm picking up what you're throwing down. Kyle Rittenhouse and self-defense, AWR, let's talk about it. First, the gun charges were dropped. You know, this whole talk of him doing it over state lines, shouldn't have even had it. Explain why those should have never even been brought forward.
Well, I mean, they shouldn't have, because the gun was in his friend's dad's safe in Kenosha the whole time. And the gun was not in his name. And he explained, you know, he explained on the stand that he understood the law, but he could not put that gun in his name, take possession of that firearm, ownership, I should say, until he was of the right age. But he also understood that law allowed him to use that gun at a younger age. So he actually complied with that law in every way. And the judge picked up on that. And that was evident as you watched the trial. But it's just like when Shannon Watts of Moms Demand, she sees a media report that there was a shooting at a school. She's already got 18 tweets out on it. And 15 minutes later, you realize, no, there was a shooting in a gang-ridden neighborhood four blocks from the school, but the street it happened on has the same name as the school. And it's that kind of jump on it, knee-jerk reaction from the left that creates these messes.
Indeed. AWR, this was really trial number two. We had trial number one when Joe Biden and the media and the Democrats, a lot of people, you know, had their white supremacist KKK trial last year, and they're still continuing with their trial. But isn't it amazing how he was already rushed to guilt?
Oh, it is. Yeah, I mean, And when they do that, I'm so proud of the jurors because there's so much pressure on them because the public is expecting a guilty verdict, which is sad, but that's what the media does. They stir it up, and they don't report news, as you know. They try to frame public opinion, not report public opinion, and that's exactly what they did here.
Yeah. There's never been more of a time in America, I would say, that people are thinking about their safety right now. The homicide rate in 2020 surged to a 24-year high. And, you know, it's just another sign of this administration not working at all. The FBI crime report was out. One of the highest rates reported since 1997. 24-year high. In AWR, it was all national news here in California. If I literally read the list starting last week of all the smash and grabs, our interview time would be up. It would take me about another 10 minutes to read it all. This is, and it's not just California.
Yeah, well, the sad thing is it's turned not so much a smash and grab as a smash and walk because these Democrat-run cities, they're not letting the police respond to crime that's less than violent, and the word violent is being redefined. And so people are just walking into high-end stores, grabbing armful stuff, walking out. They're in no hurry. They're going to walk over somewhere else and do the same thing, and it's what you get. We've had Chicago for years as an example, and everyone ignored it. So now we've got Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New Orleans, and on we can go. All of them have similar policies, and they're paying the same price.
I guess, yeah. I'm not going to say smash and grab. We'll call it smash and stroll, right? Just stroll along. Smash and stroll, as we've seen. And, you know, many Californians out here are wondering what they need to do to be protected in the People's Republic of California. AWR, it's the new gun registrations are off the chart. And what's the general wait time right now? Is it longer than In-N-Out Burger or Chick-fil-A? If you don't have a gun, we're talking to people right now who have never bought a gun, or maybe it's lapsed. And
well, you're sometimes the hardest thing is finding the gun. But it seems that the gun supply is pretty good throughout the country now. It's ammo still a little scarce, but there's far more ammo than there was, let's say, a year ago. But it's still extremely high. So I know it sounds like I'm saying yes, but no. Yes, but no. But that's the kind of climate that's been created under Biden. But as I covered today on CNN, even had to admit it. This very day, they admitted it. They said Americans are buying more guns than ever. That's a quote. And you know they hated to type those words. We have support for gun control is at its lowest since 2014. Gun purchases are looking like they're going to be record again, just like last year. And that just means the left is failing. They own the media, yet they're failing. We're still buying guns. We're still carrying guns for self-defense. It's still America.
Is it still, I've never even asked it, can you still buy a gift for somebody as a gun? You know, I want to get dad or my uncle or somebody a gun for Christmas. Can you still even do that anymore?
You know what? It's a tricky thing because I've thought about that. I'll tell you personally, I wouldn't do it. I think it's one of those deals that's, I'm going to say it this way, legal but not advisable. Because, in some states right now where there's open carry, if you carry, people in that state will call the police on you. And so even though it's legal to open carry in some of those states, you don't do it because the hassle, and you could be charged. And so I think you're up against the same thing. If you're thinking about buying a firearm for a gift, I would go talk to the FFL from whom you're going to buy it, and he or she will shoot you straight. I'd say, what do I need to do? And that's who I would trust on that. I wouldn't trust me or anyone else. I would go straight there because your ability to continue buying firearms is on the line if you make a mistake.
How'd you get that AR-15 in that stocking, honey? Thank you. Not a good idea, you're saying. I'm picking. Okay. We have some U.S. Congress people getting together, 51 of them, sending a letter to the acting director of the ATF, said the Biden administration's trying to create a federal gun registry, and they're saying they're using this backdoor policy enforcement, clear in the Firearms Owner Protection Act that the government shall not create a federal gun registry. Have you picked up on this? Is this something you think that would come to fruition here?
I don't I don't know. I don't want to tell people not to worry about it, but Biden lost so much political capital with Afghanistan. The last time I heard a sucking sound that big, I actually don't know when it was. You could hear his political capital being sucked away. But all that being said, the only way he's going to get gun control is if he does some type of executive move like this. I'm just not sure if people want to align with him. You know, even Beto O'Rourke, he's running for governor in Texas on a gun grab, but he does not want Biden campaigning with him. And so Biden is not, you know, people act like Biden's popular and they act like they're glad he won. But anybody who's really wanting to accomplish things, they don't want anything to do with him.
So Newsom won the recall with 63% of the vote. If Biden hadn't come out here, he might have, you know, gotten up to 70. Beto O'Rourke, boy, when Beto O'Rourke doesn't even want you, things aren't going really well. There are a lot of different people out there, and I saw online today there was this, and I had to look it up. AWR, I didn't know who he was. He's a rapper, an online influencer. I think he was famous for breaking some woman's deadlift record, even though he's a guy named Zuby. And people probably know about that. Have you ever heard that name of this guy?
No.
I had neither, but I guess he's a big thing out there. Here's what he said today. The United States Second Amendment could be the one thing standing between the world's population and complete global tyranny. So you want to talk about running the full spectrum and people realizing and waking up. There's one example right there.
Right. That person is exactly right. I would say it that way. And everybody mocks us for our gun ownership, but when it comes down to it, it's our gun ownership that continues to keep this country safe. And, you know, people can compare the United States to countries of the size of France or smaller and talk about our gun violence. We are a free nation, and freedom comes with risks. And I'm not saying that means we don't hate to see lives lost. I don't mean that. But what I mean is freedom comes with risk. And I've always said I would rather have the risk of freedom than the comforts of slavery, and that's just a fact.
Indeed, and you know, a lot of people used to laugh at the global tyranny, but a lot of people are waking up and they're seeing it all around them right now. With some of these countries over there completely locking people down, but that's a whole nother can of worms that we'll talk about at another time. AWR, have a good flight, have a good Thanksgiving. And we'll talk here hopefully before the end of the year. And people can just read you at Breitbart.com. Is there anywhere else you wanted to point them?
Well, they can go to my Instagram at @AWR_Hawkins.
All right. Well, enjoy those peanuts and ginger ale.
I'll do it. You have a great Thanksgiving. It was great to have time with you.
Hey, you too. And thank you for making time in a rush schedule. AWR Hawkins right there. Breitbart.com's Second Amendment expert. Hey, let's talk about mail-in voting and why it's wrong. Let's do that next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
All right, I guess I got to twist up my vitamins somehow. I woke up with a Charlie horse in my right leg. You know the ones that feel like somebody put a knife in your calf like that? And I'm thinking what my neighbors thought if they're sleeping, because upstairs I have the window open. I love this time of the year. Natural cold sleeping, way better than cold air conditioning sleeping. But I wonder if they had their windows open. It was probably around 4 a.m. Because I'm like, I'm standing up. You heard me from Clovis, huh? I had to stand up. You know what you know what to do to relieve that, right? You stand up on it, and you got to put pressure on it, like with your toes. Just like stand on your toes on that leg, and that will help relieve it. But there I am, like standing up, like feeling like the knife finally being pulled out. And right before I'd gone to bed, my blanket was stuck underneath the wood chest at the end of the bed. So I had moved it a little to the right to get the blanket unstuck that it was on. So as my right leg is like, I'm hobbling, I'm going to go pee. And I'm going to the bathroom. Then I hit my left toe, foot on that chest because I'd moved it over in the dark. I can't see what I'm doing, and it's normally not there. And so there I am, peacefully sleeping. And within 60 seconds, little did I know that I'm going to be standing up with two hurt feet, hurt leg, hurt toe. But my neighbors, I'm thinking, what were they like? Babe, did you hear that? What was that? That's a man in agony or something. Babe, I was never nicknamed. Maybe that's why the relationships where you got to make those cute nicknames up. Were you ever nicknamed? Are you a nicknamed person? Kinda. Yeah, I was never hun, babe, sweetie, all of that. But I am going to get nice right now and listen to Frank Reich. And I'm thinking I think he was a quarterback I'm thinking that comeback game with the Bills or something. But he's now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And this was a post-game conference interview that he did. And I thought this was this was extremely refreshing to hear in today's world.
Almost 30 years ago, after a really big game, right down the hall in a press conference, I shared the lyrics to a song that meant a lot to me, that really spoke to where I get my strength from. And the song's In Christ Alone says this. The chorus says, "In Christ alone I place my trust, and I find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me that my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone." And then there's one small snippet in the second verse, which is my favorite line, favorite lyric, says, "I seek no greater honor than just to know him more." So even though it was almost 30 years ago when I read those words here in this stadium, this week I was reminded, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's crazy, but we're here some 30 years later, not living in the past, but rather attempting to press on to what is ahead. So my encouragement is to keep climbing and to find the strength and power that you need in Jesus Christ.
Domestic terrorist alert. Did you hear that? Wow, way to go, Coach Frank Reich of the Indianapolis Colts. It almost feels like it's going to give me a little permission to maybe watch Indianapolis Colt games. It's going to be my little sneak back into watching football. I'll be like, what? I thought you said it was a Marxist. I'm watching this head coach that's talking about Christ, so it's okay. That's good football American stuff right there. I was going to talk about this mail-in voting thing, but for some reason, I don't even feel like it. Let's talk about turkeys for a minute, can we? Just proving how out of touch the Today Show is. They gave some tips during, Joe Biden's inflation time. Here we got to think different, right? They were saying, cancel the turkey. This is what NBC suggested. I'm going to quote them. Perhaps forgo the turkey. Some people think turkey's overrated. It tends to be the most expensive thing on the menu. Maybe have an Italian feast. And then here's the real boot in the old crack here. If you tell everyone you're not having a turkey, some guests may drop off, and that will save money too. These are broken souls, aren't they? It's the whole point's to get together with some folks, right? But they're saying no, it will save money, right? So it's the time of the year where you're supposed to be able to get together and eat and drink and pray and party and be together. But, those guests, that's inconvenience. There's no upside to what we're experiencing. There's no upside to inflation, even though Joe Biden now has promised he's going to let we the taxpayers pay for gasoline that we already purchased. That's like the gas tax in California. Yeah, it's going to help with roads. No, we already got taxed for those roads that you didn't do anything. You're taxing us again. So Joe Biden is going to promise to let us pay for gas. He's going to release money from our strategic reserve. That's a strategic move on his part, right? That just further weakens America. Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well. And MSNBC is talking about Thanksgiving being about white settlers who brought genocide and violence, right? Hey, we know what it's a day for. It's to thank the Lord above. Thank Him for what we have. And if you have your health, thank the Lord above. There are those who've lost it. Listen, thanks to Agent Squires, God willing, we'll be back after the Thanksgiving weekend. That's right, on Monday. Jonathan Keller in tomorrow. John Girardi's coming up next. Enjoy your Thanksgiving early.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.